a powerful tool in the mighty hand of Jehovah. Now, this is a slightly different service than you've heard before. It's a service that will describe the benefits of the restoration of Israel to mankind and the gospel age church. There's some real benefits that we'd like to capture, like lightning in a bottle. Get your Bible in hand. I'll try to go slow enough so that you can read these scriptures. And I will ask you to look them up, actually, and mark your Bibles if you're so inclined. First, where do we get the term the restoration of Israel? Well, I think we get it from Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. And if you remember, this is after Jesus' crucifixion and his resurrection. And the disciples ask him a question. And we find it in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. It states thus, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." What a beautiful admonition and great commission from our Lord. Now, we think of the scripture in Acts chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. And the word restitution there is actually the same root word as the word restore in the disciples' question in verse 6. And we think of this all the time, and we'll read just verse 21. It says, "Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." So this is the Apostle Peter speaking after he receives the Holy Spirit, and he's talking about the restitution of all things. We usually use that scripture to refer to the restitution of all things that were lost in Adam. And in a sense, that's true. But I think the primary purpose is the restoration of Israel, which after the restoration of Israel, all those beautiful things that Brother Brad Sweeney was talking about with the Abrahamic promise will come to pass. So our next screen, I'd like to call your attention to the, as you might know, I'm involved with the Herald magazine. And 2 years ago, we had a seminar called The Miracle of the Restoration of Israel. And there's some outstanding content in that seminar. Six or seven of us brethren spoke. And in addition, we had a Brigadier General Gal Hirsch from Israel. He was in charge of the entire campaign in Lebanon in 2008. And then also a Zionist social worker named Yoni Cooper. I highly recommend that you take advantage of listening to these services. These are more of your traditional Israel, the restoration of Israel sermon. And you can simply, Brother Ray will put the Google Drive folder link in the chat, and you can click on that folder and download five or six pieces of content. And then on this screen, you can click on either one of these images, and it'll take you right to that YouTube playlist. Also, if you're interested, there was a Herald magazine for May of 2020, May, June 2020, and you may listen to the audio files or read the text at herald-magazine.com. And also this tiny URL link that's on the screen here, you can click on that link and simply from the PDF that you'll download and simply download the entire PDF of the issue. Inside the Herald magazine, you will find a beautiful timeline, which is very timely and it's very helpful. If you are interested, you can download that timeline from the notes in or the Google Drive folder that you access. And we have it in Polish also. So if you would prefer to have it in Polish, you can download it there. So today I would like to share some thoughts with you that will be a great encouragement to you as the Gospel Age Church and prospectively to the world of mankind and God's kingdom. Today, our service begins in the future. It's the future that we long for with our fondest hopes, our fondest desires, and all of our life ambition as we've consecrated our life to our Heavenly Father through His Son's blood, Jesus Christ. And today's service will be a blend of prophecy and also a frame-up of current events. First, we'd like to consider a prophecy that is not yet fulfilled. So project yourself into the future and think about this prophecy. Now, if we open up our window and look outside in our social system today, in our world today, we can look around and see that this scripture is not fulfilled. This scripture in Zechariah chapter 8, verse 22 and 23. It says, "Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord." Is that happening today? No, that's for the future. Verse 23. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we've heard that God is with you." Just think of that. Now, we have to ask ourselves something. What conditions will persist in the world that will prompt strong nations to look to Israel as an example of hope? What conditions will persist? Well, here's another prophecy for you to consider while you're thinking of that. And this scripture is not fulfilled either, and it's obvious that is still future. Micah chapter 4, verse 1. "But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains." Well, that mountain of the house of the Lord is God's kingdom. "And it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it." Wow, that's a beautiful concept. That's still future. It's for the world of mankind. It's the fulfillment of the Abrahamic promise. It's the roadmap to atonement, all because of the blood of Jesus Christ that the world will enjoy. Verse 2, "And many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." And this is a beautiful, beautiful panorama of the plan of God, and we can almost visualize this before our mind's eye. Now, in the scriptures, when it talks about Zion, it's talking about the spiritual ruling power that will replace Christendom. And it is the spiritual ruling power that will come from heaven, of Jesus Christ and his church, that will be reigning during the mediatorial reign over the earth. And they will use the nation of Israel, the ancient worthies, the faithful in Israel, to be that pathway for salvation of the world of mankind. What a beautiful concept. So what is happening today? Let's open up that window and look out again. Well, this is what we see. Here's an interesting infographic. It's from the time between 2012 and 2015. We have an institution called the United Nations, and it is a place where all of the leaders of all of the nations send their ambassador to the United Nations to participate on the world stage. Well, in the 3 years between 2012 and 2015, 86% of all United Nations resolutions were really against the tiny state of Israel. So think of this reality that we have today, and think about what is going to happen in order for the world to make an about face and actually follow that prophecy in Zechariah 8:23, where the strong nations will grab the skirt of the Jew and follow them and say, hey, we've heard that God is with you. Here's another infographic from the years 2015 through 2020. And in the United Nations, the General Assembly have made several condemnations but they're really biased against Israel. Out of the 166 condemnations, 100 of them were against Israel. So here we have the question. How will God bring the world to this point of honoring Israel, of grabbing their skirt and following them and saying, we got to follow you. We want to be like you. Well, I think the answer is that it will be the end of Christendom. We really appreciate this scripture in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. It says, the Apostle Peter says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. There's your thief coming in that window that people are opening up. They open up their window, they look outside, and guess what? Our Heavenly Father's general of Jehovah, Jesus Christ, is here, and he's unseen. He's like a thief in the night. In the which the heavens shall pass away, that's the false religion, that's the spiritual ruling powers of mankind's kingdom, false kingdom. That's Christendom. That's the religious part of Christendom, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are in shall be burned up. That's the social and civil government systems that will be destroyed. Here's another scripture, Micah chapter 4, verse 3. And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. What a beautiful, beautiful concept. I think this scripture is actually emblazoned at the United Nations in a memorial wall somewhere. Well, the problem with the end of Christendom is that today, Christendom is mankind's last best hope. Some of the vestiges of the Judeo-Christian ethic, the scriptures, have been infused into things like the Universal Rights of Man in France and also the Bill of Rights of the United States of America and other republics and democracies across the world. Christendom today is mankind's last best hope. There's all kinds of refugees coming to the European nations. There's all kinds of immigrants coming to the United States. The fact is, Christendom is the world's economic leader. And today, it's among the world's most stable societies. But we know from the scriptures, we know from prophecy, we know from digging into the scriptures like the noble Bereans, that the Gentile times have ended and the kings have had their day, and with them sin and sorrow will forever pass away. But not yet. We have some rough waters ahead, so to speak. We believe that God is bringing the world of mankind to a culminating point. Now, what is a culminating point? Well, in military terms, you might have heard this lately. I heard it in the news the other day. The point at which a military force is no longer able to perform its operations. Perhaps it's a military force that was overextended in a foreign country. Maybe they didn't expect the battle to take that long, and they didn't have the logistics supply chain set up to supply their forces. Maybe they were cut off by the defending army. But God is bringing the world of mankind to this culminating point because mankind does not have the logistics to continue. God will intervene and bring them to an end. Let me share with you a beautiful scripture in Isaiah chapter 28, 14 through 22. And this scripture in Isaiah 28, 14 through 22, this is an insider look at the corruption in Christendom and God's promise to destroy it. Think of this scripture as an insider's view of the corruption of Christendom and God's promise to destroy it. Isaiah 28, verse 14. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Wow, that's talking about the false religious systems on the earth. These are scornful men that rule the people which are in Jerusalem, not physical Jerusalem, not spiritual Jerusalem in the heaven, but a metaphor of the religious ruling power. These are the heavens that are going to pass away that 2 Peter 3:10 spoke about. Verse 15. This is God's judgment against Christendom. It says, because ye have said we have made a covenant with death, that's hell, that's their doctrine of hell right there, and with hell we are in agreement, when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we have hid ourselves. You know, Christendom has an intoxicating relationship with power. When somebody is in power, they're intoxicated by it. And this is what has happened with Christendom. Verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion, that spiritual ruling power in God's kingdom, for a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. In other words, they won't be hasty. Verse 17. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. 18. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden by it. That's the power of God's kingdom. Those are the hard truths that God will lay to the judgment, lay the axe to the root of Christendom. Verse 20. For the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than he can wrap himself in it. For the Lord shall rise up in Mount Perazim, he shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Let's consider some of these things. Verse 14 talked about the scornful men that rule Jerusalem. Those are the leaders of Christendom. That is the false religious systems that are in cahoots with the civil powers in the earth, and together they form Christendom. Verse 15 is pretty obvious. It's a covenant of death, covenant with death, and they've made all kinds of nefarious doctrines that disparage the beautiful character of God and hold men accountable to those doctrines. But verse 16, God says he lays in Zion, as spiritual ruling in the heavens, a foundation stone. That's the foundation stone of the blood of Christ. That's the Jesus buying the world of mankind and resurrecting and redeeming them and reconciling back to God, and as the keystone of the atonement. Verse 20, I think, is really nice. It talks about the bed that is shorter than a man can stretch. What does that mean? Well, I think those are the creed beds. Those are the beds of faith that people in those false religious systems, they just don't feel comfortable. There's no truth there that they can use to exercise their mind and their heart to grow spiritually. It just is not there. And then verse 21, his strange work, his strange act. I believe that is God allowing anarchy to overthrow Christendom, the people who claim to worship and honor his name. That's going to be strange. It's going to be counterintuitive. It's going to completely grab people by surprise. It's going to blow their minds, and it's going to think that they're just not going to know what to think. So let's talk about this culminating point. Let's roll back the timeline to today. As we look out our window today, what is happening? Well, five things that I've noticed that lead to the roadmap of the destruction of Christendom right before our eyes. Number one, we are in the last part, we think of a global pandemic. And the global pandemic has completely changed the texture of society. It's completely changed the attendance in churches, governments, societies, organizations. One of the most powerful things that we do as humans is meeting with other people. And in that fellowship, whether it's secular fellowship or faith fellowship, we get encouragement from that. We're humans. We're made to meet with other people. And the pandemic has completely taken that and changed it on its end. Global clean water is another piece of culminating point. There's a drought across the world. It's unbelievable what some of these countries are dealing with in their problem with clean water. When I was in Israel in 2018, I got to visit the world's largest desalinization plant and get an insider's view of what was happening as they brought water in from the sea and ran it through their special membranes and created clean water. It's unbelievable what Israel is doing. The third thing that I've noticed in a culminating point is the war in Ukraine. My friends, we are face to face with World War III. Right now, we're in a Cold War type situation where the West has committed military materiel, but it could change very quickly. Number fourth thing I notice is China trying to grow as a global superpower and looking for ways to exercise that power to their advantage. But here's the kicker, number five. I think this is a place where God could bring the end of the confidence in Christendom in a heartbeat. We have a graphic that we'd like to show, and that is the global debt of nations is on the left dimension. We can see that it's almost $280 trillion. That's the total debt across the world in 2021. But the other figure that is interesting is shown by the red line on the screen, and that is that it's over 350% of gross domestic product of the world. In other words, the world cannot even develop product to cover its own debt. And we believe that this is sharp increase in the last couple of years due to the pandemic, due to other reasons, is a roadmap to the culminating point of the end of Christendom. Let's consider some current events as we observe today that are the seeds of Christendom's destruction, some of the most visible signs of the time of trouble. How about Russia? Russia's made four strategic blunders in their war in Ukraine. Number one, it's exposed their lawlessness, the lawlessness that is now manifest in Russian society. There's no strength in the people's spirit. There's no strength in the people's heart. These universal conscriptions trying to get more people into the military inside Russia is not doing a very good job. They even have to go to the prisons to get conscripts. Another strategic blunder is that they did not anticipate Western sanctions that would isolate them from the world. Another strategic blunder is that Russia has underestimated the spirit of the Ukrainian people, the fighting spirit of the Ukrainian people. And the logistics supplies to the front line of battle are failing because they did not anticipate the length of this war. The danger that we have with Russia is not only nuclear, but it's also isometric warfare. It's digital attacks. It's other attacks on infrastructure across the world. These are all things that are bringing the world of mankind to a culminating point. Let's consider China for a moment. There's a population implosion in China because of poor social strategies. There's a severe water shortage. There's now sanctions on microchip technology that will greatly hamper China's ability to build weapons and to become a world superpower. They've demonstrated a poor response to the global pandemic, and the social unrest has forced a communist government to take action that they would not otherwise want to do. And then, of course, the United States of America, we're in a debt crisis. There's political strife. The moral fabric of society has been weakened. What is the effect of social media? Well, the social media, it's created an epidemic of its own. Social media has created an epidemic of poor boundaries. And these poor boundaries create a culture full of people with poor self-image, low self-esteem, and very little sense of where other people end and where they begin. And we're trying to raise our children and grandchildren in this environment. My friends, these are all difficult social realities in our world today that are bringing the world of mankind to a culminating point. And we have a front row seat to God's work on earth. I really like this scripture. It's in Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. It's a beautiful prophecy. The psalmist says, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, 'Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us.'" Do you feel that today? Do you see it happening today, where God is not even in the context of anything with society or government? Verse 4, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision." God will laugh at the world of mankind. "And shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure." My friends, we're experiencing that today. We're seeing God destroying the underpinnings, the foundations of mankind's society. And let us remember that the purpose of God's culminating point for the world of mankind is to bring them to a proper appreciation of his plans and purposes, which will eventually lead to atonement. Let us remember that God is destroying systems and not people. Zechariah chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. I like this graphic. It shows what I'm calling a flex point. That's the point where the world of mankind will change its mind and follow Israel as Christendom is being destroyed. We won't read the whole scripture, but we'll read a couple of verses in Zechariah 12. "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people round about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth shall be gathered together against it." Brethren, do you see that happening today? We sure do. We can see the resolutions, the condemnations coming from that United Nations against Israel. The world is burdening themselves with Israel. And guess what? They're going to be cut to shreds. And this is a beautiful prophecy in its own right. It says farther down in these verses, "The inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength." Oh, it says, "And the governors of Judah shall say in their hearts, 'The inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength, and the Lord of hosts their God.' In that day will I make the governors of Judah like an hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheaf. And they shall devour all the people round about them on the right hand and on the left, and Jerusalem shall be inhabited in her own place again, even in Jerusalem." Well, I think the last part of that scripture has been fulfilled in the unification of Jerusalem. Maybe not fulfilled, but the beginning of it was fulfilled in 1967. But the world is soon coming to this point where the biblical Zionists in Israel that are highlighted in this scripture, under the auspices of the ancient worthies, will become like a torch of fire in a sheaf, like a hearth of fire among the dry wood. That's what's coming. It's the culminating point. It's the flex point. And then, of course, we have this beautiful scripture in Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains. That's God's kingdom. It'll be on the top of all other nations of the earth. Those other nations of the earth will be destroyed, and the rubble will be the foundation. The people will be the foundation of God's kingdom. It'll be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Brethren, what a beautiful prospect we have before us. And many shall say, verse 3, and many shall say, go and say, come ye, and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Do you see that, Zion? Out of Zion shall go forth the law. That's the heavenly ruling power of Jesus and the church. And that law will be funneled through Jerusalem, through Israel, through the ancient worthies. Verse 4, and he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people afar off, and they shall not learn war anymore. Well, as Jehovah gives Israel a new identity, the world will follow. That's the big idea here. God will give Israel a new identity, and the rest of the world will follow Israel. The restoration of Israel, it's a mighty tool in the hand of God. The restoration of Israel will lead the world of mankind out of their identity crisis. The world has an identity crisis right now. And there's three questions that people ask in an identity crisis. Number one, who am I? Number two, what should I do? And number three, where should I go? I kind of like this little graphic. It kind of shows the world of mankind being uplifted by the power of God through the restoration of Israel. The restoration of Israel is that lever that God uses to speak to the world of mankind. And we really like this scripture. That's the New Covenant scripture that I think Brother Brad talked about. But we'd like to read it again. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Isn't that interesting? So that's the reason why the 10 men of strong nations will grab the skirt of the Jew. They're coming to Israel, number one, because they see God is with them. Number two, they see God is blessing them. And number three, they need to come to Israel to get the new covenant. God's going to make it with Israel. And the whole world of mankind is going to have to become Israelites. Verse 33, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wow, what a beautiful prospect that is just before us. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. People aren't going to have to teach people to seek after God. They're going to do it because they're going to follow the identity of Israel. They're going to come to Israel toward Jerusalem and Zion to receive the benefits of the new covenant. Now, here's a scripture that you might not be aware of. Isaiah 66, verse 5. It says, hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren hated you. They cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. So it's interesting. This word, kered, is tremble. And it means reverential. I think these are the biblical Zionists. It's the root word, Hebrew word, that the Haredim or the ultra-Orthodox Jews use to describe themselves. They call themselves Haredim, because they are ones that tremble before the word of God. And I think that this scripture talks about those biblical Zionists that were hated by their secular Zionist friends. They were cast out, but they will be found out to be glorifying God. So just an interesting scripture for you to think about. And of course, we have the beautiful scripture in Zechariah 12, verses 7 through 9, describing the flex point. The Lord shall save the tents of Judah first. We believe those are the biblical Zionists that are tremble before the word of God and seek to follow his word and believe in his promises, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. Wow, the secular Zionists are going to look at the biblical Zionists and say, hey, you were right. You were right all along. Verse 8, in that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David. That means as strong as David. And the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. And then, of course, in the culminating point, verse 9, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all nations that come against Jerusalem. So in conclusion, the restoration of Israel is a powerful tool in the mighty hand of Jehovah. It gives the world a new identity. It gives the world a new work. It gives the world a new mission. And I like this little simple addition, the destruction of Christendom, then the plus the restoration of Israel will give mankind faith. And I really like this scripture in Isaiah 25, verse 9. This is what it says. Think about the emotional commitment for mankind to turn and worship God. What will be that emotional commitment that will make them turn to God? It's not only the destruction of Christendom, because if you're in a bad way, you need hope. And we find this in Isaiah 25, verse 9. We find this hope in Isaiah 25, verse 9, the hope for the world of mankind, the hope that they will see in their spiritual mind. It'll be their emotional commitment. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God, and we have waited for him. Woo! And he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him, and we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Wow, the churches did not give the truth to the world of mankind. They were scornful men in Jerusalem. But now the world has an unveiled face before God. And God will use the world of mankind. He will use the restoration of Israel as the major tool during his kingdom to rebuild the faith of mankind. I would like to consider how the restoration of Israel gives you power. Because the restoration of Israel we see today by faith. The world doesn't see the restoration of Israel happening right before their eyes. Most people in Israel don't even see it as an act of God. Only 50% of the people that are in Israel today believe in God. And in fact, God is not even mentioned in their Declaration of Independence from 1948. But for us, the Parousia Church, it gives us our identity. It gives us work. It gives us mission. And God is using the restoration of Israel to develop our faith and to bring us closer to him. Let that concept wash over you. Let that concept give you peace in this troubled world that we live in. One of the sisters in the break quoted Psalm 23, verse 4. Let this concept of the restoration of Israel give you the mighty hand of God working to sanctify you in an evil world. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Brethren, have you ever thought of your emotional commitment to worship God? What is that? How is that related to the restoration of Israel? Well, I think we can find this emotional commitment that we know in our hearts. We know that this is from God. In Romans 11:15. And this is what the Apostle Paul says. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? So in conclusion, we are blessed, brethren, because we already know these things. Let this realization of the restoration of Israel enliven your faith. Let it nurture your faith, and let it give you spiritual energy to do the work of transformation through the covenant of grace that Brother Brad talked about in our sharing of the gospel, that inward commitment to transform our character by the graces of the Spirit. And like the world of mankind in the near future, you are invited to enjoy this power of God by virtue of this powerful tool of the restoration of Israel. So as Jehovah gives Israel their new identity, as Jehovah gives the world of mankind their new identity, you have three questions that you can answer in the scriptures. Who am I? What should I do? Where should I go? Now here's what the scripture talks about the world of mankind. In Isaiah 13:12, to answer the question, who am I? The world of mankind is going to be, it says, I will make man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Wow, that's a beautiful concept. Do you know that you can claim that today in God's eyes? Jesus died for you. He gave his life for you to have the opportunity to be in God's family. And that's what the world of mankind are going to realize. As far as the next two questions, what should I do and where should I go? We find this in Isaiah 35:10. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Wow. So what should the world of mankind do? They should come to Zion. Brethren, we live in a godless world. It's constantly telling us mythological stories about who we are, what we should do, where we should go. We cannot believe the world's story. The restoration of Israel, realizing it's part of God's prophetic thread, gives us spiritual power. It gives us encouragement. It gives us hope. It gives us strength to live our life in a dying world. And just like the Apostle Peter said in 2 Peter 1:19, even with Peter being among Jesus on Jesus's earthly ministry, Peter said these words, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as in unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart." Brethren, my prayer for all of us is that we may properly sit under the sanctifying power of God, that we may not believe the story that the world is telling us, that we may look to the scriptures and let God lift us up by our faith in the scriptures. And one of the most powerful testimonies of the plan of God is the restoration of Israel. Let God lift us up by the lifting up and the restoring of the nation of Israel. God bless you. Amen.